Good day, and welcome to the Rockville Financial, Inc. First Quarter 2012 Earnings Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on a touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Marlise L. Shaw, Senior Vice President, Investor Relations. Ms. Shaw, please go ahead.
Thank you, Denise. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our first quarter conference call. Before we begin, we would like to remind you to read our safe harbor advisement on forward-looking statements on our earnings announcement. Forward-looking statements, by their nature, are subject to risks and uncertainties. Certain factors could cause actual results to differ materially from expected results. Our comments today are intended to qualify for the safe harbor afforded by that advisement. Now, I would like to introduce Bill Crawford, our Chief Executive Officer and President.
Thanks, Marlise. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on today's call and for your continued interest in our company. Yesterday afternoon, we released first quarter earnings. This morning, I'll review some of the highlights of the first quarter, and then my team will provide a more detailed overview of the quarter. With me this morning is John Lund, our Chief Financial Officer, Mark Cuccia, Head of Commercial Banking, and Eric Newell, Director of Treasury, along with other members of our management team. I'm very pleased to announce that Rockville had record first quarter net earnings of $3.9 million, or $0.13 a share, driven by our 25% operating revenue growth. Significant to our quarterly earnings growth was the $2.7 million, or 20% increase in net interest income, which was primarily due to the $2.5 million, or 48% decrease in interest expense in the first quarter of 2012 when compared to the first quarter of 2011. The interest expense decline was largely from realizing the benefit of the second quarter 2011 balance sheet restructure and was also, importantly, from our continued focus on decreasing total funding costs and growing low-cost core deposits. Our franchise cut funding costs 44%, or by 71 basis points, to 0.91% for the first quarter of 2012 from 1.62% for the first quarter of 2011, and by 16 basis points from 1.07% in the fourth quarter of 2011. While decreasing the cost of funds will continue to be an important focus of the company, Rockville is committed to organic growth of both loan and deposit portfolios and protecting asset quality. Our commercial loans grew by 6% in the first quarter and by 23% year-over-year. The compound annual growth rate of this portfolio over the last three years is 18%. Importantly, we produced 19% growth in our C&I portfolio during the quarter, which is where we feel we have the greatest market opportunity to bring in new commercial relationships, which use deposit and cash management services. The lending team that we've recruited has extensive experience in these markets, and our growth in C&I lending also contributes to our portfolio diversification. Rockville grew demand deposits by $10 million, or 5%, in the first quarter and by $51 million year-over-year. Total low-cost core deposits grew $53 million in the first quarter of 2012 and grew by $178 million, or 26% year-over-year. At Rockville, we remain focused on driving organic growth by taking market share from the larger banks. We also significantly invested in our company in the year ending March 31, 2012, as evidenced by a 13% increase in operating expense growth year-over-year. Salaries and employee benefits expense increased $1.5 million, or 26%, during that time period, related to the investment the company is making in its human capital infrastructure to prepare prudently for future growth, and other expense increased by $256,000, related also to the infrastructure investment, as well as the cost of being a fully public company. Core operating profit increased by 77% year-over-year, despite the aforementioned expense growth. The company will continue to make investments in its infrastructure in order to manage long-term shareholder return and build franchise value. At Rockville, we remain committed to shareholder return and to executing on sound capital management principles. Capital management is a top priority for the company, and we view efficiently returning capital to shareholders via increased dividends and our recently announced 10% stock buyback program as an important tool in that regard. We're delighted to announce our third consecutive quarterly dividend increase, providing a 3.2% annualized dividend yield to our shareholders based on the average closing price in the first quarter. And we executed 22% of the stock buyback program as of March 31, 2012. I would like to personally thank our investors for their confidence in our company. At Rockville, we remain focused on creating prosperity for our customers, communities, and shareholders. Our total shareholder return year over year is 14.9% compared to the SNL Thrift Index of -5.4% during the same time period. We mailed our proxy statement, including the 2012 stock incentive plan, to our shareholders earlier this month, and we'll be holding our annual meeting of shareholders on May 17th. We appreciate your continued support and look forward to seeing those of you who are able to join us at the annual meeting, and we encourage shareholders to vote their proxy as this is an important part of our corporate governance. At this time, I'm going to ask John Lund, our CFO, to provide some further details on the quarterly results.
Thank you, Bill, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on our call today. I will review our first quarter operating results and financial position as described in our earnings release yesterday afternoon. As Bill indicated, the company reported record first quarter earnings. Net income for the quarter ended March 31, 2012, of $3.9 million, or 13 cents per share, is largely reflective of the company's continued focus on decreasing the cost of funding across all sources. Net interest expense decreased $415,000, or 12.9% on a linked quarter basis, and by $2.5 million, or 47.5% year over year. The primary driver of the linked quarter decrease is the 17 basis point decline in the cost of time deposits to 1.48% from 1.65%, coupled with the $29 million decline in average balance of time deposits as the company continues to shift the deposit mix towards low-cost core deposit accounts. At Rockville, we thoughtfully priced deposits in consideration of both a competitive and interest rate environment. On a year-over-year basis, interest expense continues to benefit from the company's balance sheet restructure completed during the second quarter of 2011. This restructure provided Rockville with an interest expense savings of $5.1 million on an annualized basis. The net interest margin was influenced by the decline in the cost of funds and improved to 3.83% on a tax equivalent basis for the quarter from 3.1% during the same quarter in 2011 and improved from 3.77% in the prior quarter. While we are certainly fully engaged and focused on the net interest margin going forward, we are cognizant that based on the near-term economic outlook and the FOMC's intention to maintain a low rate environment for an extended period, that growing or maintaining margins will be a 2012 challenge for many banks. In order to meet this challenge, the company will seek opportunities to mitigate interest rate risk through proactive asset liability management. Our goal is to not make interest rate bets, rather to maintain a neutral interest rate risk sensitivity position. Net interest income has benefited from continued organic growth in both loans and deposits. Net loans have increased $38.9 million, or 2.7% during the first quarter to $1.5 billion, contributing to a 10.7% annualized growth rate and a 7.4% compound annual growth rate over the last 5 years. During the quarter, the company sold $17.5 million of fixed-rate residential mortgage loans to the secondary market. Deposits have increased by $55.5 million, or 4.2% during the first quarter to $1.38 billion, contributing to a 16.7% annualized growth rate and an 8.5% compound annual growth rate in that portfolio over the last 5 years. Both the loan and deposit portfolios are benefiting from the company's commercial banking expansion. Commercial loans, including commercial real estate and C&I loans, grew by $43.8 million, or 5.9%, to $781.1 million at March 31, 2012. From $737.3 million at December 31, 2012. Reflective of the expansion of this team throughout the third quarter of 2011, commercial loans have increased by $87 million, or 12.5%, since September 30, 2011, or 25% on an annualized basis. Non-interest-bearing deposits grew by $10.2 million, or 4.9%. Since year-end and have grown by $34.9 million, or 19.2% since September 30, 2011, primarily reflective of the investments the company made in the commercial lending and cash management teams in the third quarter of 2011. Regarding non-interest expenses, excluding the effect of the Charitable Foundation contribution in the first quarter of 2011, the increase in non-interest expense on a linked quarter basis and in comparison to the first quarter of 2011 was primarily concentrated in salary and benefits expense. This increase is reflecting higher staffing levels related to the investment the company is making in its human capital and infrastructure to prepare for future growth. Additionally, other expense increased by $256,000 or 18% year-over-year related to additional expenses associated with being a fully public company, as well as the increase in other various variable costs commensurate with the increase of 61 full-time equivalent employees hired throughout the 12-month period ending March 31, 2012. Partially offsetting these cost increases year-over-year were the $210,000 or 64.8% decrease in marketing expense and the $209,000 or 40.6% decrease in FDIC expense. The company has paid dividends for 24 consecutive quarters. The dividend payout ratio for the quarter ended March 31, 2012 was 61%. Stock buybacks became available as an option on March 3, 2012, and as such, the company approved a 10% buyback program at that time. As of March 31, 2012, the company had purchased 647,900 shares, or 22% of the approved plan. To conclude, we are pleased with the strong operating results for the quarter and the resulting robust net interest margin. Going forward, we continue to focus on prudent growth, maintaining asset quality, and on seeking opportunities to decrease the cost of funds. During the quarter, the company embarked on a strategy to expand its investment portfolio, specifically municipal bonds. We did so with the full confidence given our in-house subject matter expertise of Eric Newell, our Senior Vice President, Director of Treasury. Eric holds a CFA designation, and his experience includes his roles as an FDIC examiner and as an analyst for both Fitch Ratings and AllianceBernstein.
Thank you, John, and good morning. During the first quarter, the company embarked on an initiative to purchase approximately $40 million of municipal bond securities into the available-for-sale portfolio. We continually analyzed top performers in the industry and noticed a pattern within the investment portfolios of those in the top quartile. Each had municipal exposures in their portfolios. With that in mind, as well as a deepening bench of talent throughout our organization to handle this type of risk, management made a strategic decision to conservatively add this type of exposure to our investment portfolio. At March 31, 2012, these investments represented 20% of total available-for-sale securities and 2% of total assets. Individual investments in the municipal portfolio are limited to $2 million and will be largely rated AA or better. The company does not rely on any other insurance or enhancement schemes, with the one exception being the Texas Permanent School Fund, which is rated AAA. At quarter end, the portfolio ratings were comprised as the follows. 18% is rated AAA, 28% is AA1, 25% is AA2, 27% is AA3, and 2% is A2, rated with a credit enhancement from the Texas Permanent School Fund. There are no special purpose bonds in the portfolio, such as stadiums, parking meters, and other recreational projects. Approximately $16 million are general obligation bonds, diversified geographically among 10 states, with the greatest concentration in California, which represents about $4 million. One important aspect of the general obligation portfolio is that only $5.4 million are direct obligations of the state. The remainder of the obligations are issued by political subdivisions. The remaining $24 million are revenue bonds diversified among 13 states, with the greatest concentration in California representing about $4 million, followed by New York and Washington representing about $3 million each. These bonds are further diversified by several types of revenue, representing, for example, wastewater and water fees, college and university tuition, and real estate taxes in the support of school systems. The greatest concentration of revenue type of bond is wastewater and water fees, representing about $8 million, followed by college and university fees, representing about $7 million. Education could be considered a concentration. However, university and college improvements are generally funded by student tuition and fees, whereas school improvements are paid by property taxes, which are often subject to constitutional mandates for minimum funding levels. Credit analysis will be paramount to managing risks in this portfolio. While we utilize reports from Moody's, S&P, and Fitch, management will review continued disclosures from issuers and understand developing trends and proactively act when appropriate. We will not simply act in response to rating agency actions. We also leverage broker relationships in order to gain access to market information, helping us understand developing topics such as pension obligations and how they relate to credits in our portfolio. You may expect to see expanded disclosures in our future quarterly financial reports surrounding this strategy. At this time, Mark will provide some further detail on the company's asset quality.
Thank you, Eric, and good morning, everybody. Rockville's asset quality remains strong and is top amongst its peer group by nearly every performance metric. Net charge-offs to average loans outstanding at March 31, 2012, was 0.01%. Total non-performing loans to total loans was 0.9%, and total non-performing assets to total assets was 0.88%. The allowance for the loan losses was increased by $502,000 during the first quarter to $16.5 million. At March 31, 2012, the ratio of allowance for loan losses to non-performing loans was 121.03%, and the allowance for loan losses to total loans was 1.09%. Thank you. And now Bill, John, Eric, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. If at any time your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster.
Denise?
Yes, ma'am.
I would just first like to clarify that with regard to staffing increases year over year, it's 38 FTE rather than 61. I just wanted to make that correction, and now we're ready for questions.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our first question will come from Damon Del Monte of KBW. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning, everyone. How are you?
Hey, Damon.
Hi,
thanks for joining us.
Sure, thanks. I guess my first question has to do with a little bit of the investment portfolio strategy and specifically the municipal portfolio. What's the average yield that you're seeing on that portfolio?
Sure, Eric, I'll let you take that one.
Hi, Damon. This is Eric.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
On a notional, before we're tax affecting it, you're probably seeing something around 2.5 to 3%. But obviously, since the municipals get a favorable tax calculation, you're starting to see yields around 5 to 6%.
Okay. I think you said that currently it's about 20% of the available for sale portfolio. What is the targeted allocation over time?
I think that you probably could see that the portfolio will grow modestly, because we're not fully deployed on the strategy. But we have talked with the investment committee and ALCO, and we have a basically a limit that we're not going to grow that portfolio to be an outsized portion of the investment portfolio.
Okay, but it is at 20% now, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then I guess it looks like you guys didn't provide an average balance sheet in the release, so I'm kind of guessing here. I think your average securities for the quarter were $176 million, but your period-end securities were $204 million. So maybe this is more of a question for John. Are we going to see some benefit to the margin then in the second quarter as kind of catch-up happens from the period end to the average?
Yeah, I would say incrementally, yes. You will see that. Certainly, the municipal portfolio is an important driver for that.
Right.
We embarked on this diversification in the portfolio in the first quarter, so certainly there'll be some lift there. And I just would follow up to a comment Eric had made. You know, certainly we're very mindful of diversification and credit quality with these types of securities. So.
Okay. And then what was the average loans outstanding for the quarter? And I guess what were total average earning assets?
Total average loans outstanding were $1.475 billion.
Okay. And how about total average earning assets?
Total average earning assets were approximately $1.7 billion.
Okay. Great. And then I guess probably a question for Mark. Can you just give us an update on the regional commercial real estate portfolio that you guys have and kind of what you're seeing, I guess, in the way of credit trends as well as continuing lending opportunities?
We still see good opportunity there. The portfolio at 331 was about $253 million, 37 loans, average loan size just less than $7 million. We've got a weighted average LTV of about 63%, debt service coverage of 168. All loans are performing as agreed. And, of course, you know, as we expand commercial, that, you know, the production from the regional will represent on a relative basis a smaller percentage overall.
Yeah, and Damon, we've brought in another banker that Mark's worked with in the past with a lot of experience in that space, and so we think that will be helpful.
Okay. Great. That's all that I had for now. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Damon.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. And this will conclude our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to management for any closing remarks.
Okay, this is Bill Crawford. I want to thank everybody for joining us. One correction we wanted to make is in the number of hires we've had year over year, I think on the call it said 61. That's not correct. The right number is 38. In net new employees year over year. But we thank you for your interest, and anytime we can handle any questions or concerns, please contact us directly, and I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you. The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.